Blog Talk Radio.
Deadline.
And
welcome to our talk radio show, Connect the City, guys. On this show, we are covering the entire gamut on politics, entertainment, relationships, celebrity and trendy news, and current events, and we're going to connect it all to the city, guys. So let's jump right in. I don't know what this is doing. We are Facebook Live. We are YouTube Live. We like live all the way around, baby, don't we?
Yeah, we need good broadband, though.
Look, we got some stuff hooked up. You wouldn't believe how it really works in the studio. I got you. We're at Not About Me Ministries in Temple Hills, Maryland. We are very, very happy to be back. We had a wonderful summer vacation.
We're ready.
We didn't really mean to come back with this particular topic, 9/11, guys. Are we any safer 17
years later?
My live just went off. Okay, great.
Broadband.
It just went off. Okay, great. So, you know what, JB? Let's start on a lighter note, and then we'll get into the heavy stuff.
Okay.
My Redskins won. Yep, yes, they did. Yeah, they did. Okay, here we go. You tried it. Okay. My whole line went off. That's crazy.
No wonder why.
Well, you know what? Because we don't talk about 9/11. JB, the laughs are over. I feel like the laughs are over because 17 years ago, 9/11 happened. And we are talking about, are we safer 17 years later? Deep sigh. I think we should bring our callers in first.
We got to bring our callers in first.
Guys, call in. We're on Facebook Live. We're all the way live on everything. Call in 929-477-3886. Caller with the last four digits of 5516. You're on with Connect the City. Can we have your name?
Good evening, Millie. Good evening, JV. This is Ed Farley. How are you?
Good evening,
Farley. How are
Ed
you,
Farley.
Sir?
Thank you for calling.
Wonderful.
In.
Thank you.
We're gonna get into it. We just wanted a little bit of laughs before we are not laughing anymore in the next 2 seconds. You know. So, just in case you live under a rock, we want to talk about 9/11, 17 years ago, September 11, 2001, at 8:45 a.m. on a clear Tuesday morning. Clear Tuesday morning, right, JB?
Mm-hmm.
And American Airlines Boeing 767 loaded with 20,000 gallons of jet fuel crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. The impact left a gaping, burning hole near the 80th floor of the 110-story skyscraper, instantly killing hundreds of people and trapping hundreds more in the higher floors. As the evacuation of the tower and its twin got underway, television cameras broadcasted live images of what initially appeared to be a freak accident. That's kind of what I thought it was. I ain't gonna lie to you. Then 18 minutes after the first plane hit, a second Boeing 767 United Airlines Flight 175 appeared out of the sky, turned sharply towards the World Trade Center, and sliced into the South Tower near the 60th floor. The collision caused a massive explosion that showered burning debris over surrounding buildings and onto the streets below. It immediately became clear that America was under attack. September 11th, so you guys know, was the deadliest day in history of New York City firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
343 people were killed or less.
Mm. And I tell you,
God, that was hard to say, JV.
Yes,
jeez.
So, wow, I tell you,
I can't do it.
So Osama bin Laden, the attackers were Islamic terrorists from Saudi Arabia and several other Arab nations, reportedly financed by the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization of Saudi fugitive Osama bin Laden. They were allegedly acting in retaliation for America's support of Israel, its involvement in the Persian Gulf War, and its continued military presence in the Middle East, which we all, everybody should know about. Some of the terrorists had lived in the United States for more than a year and had taken flying lessons at American commercial flight schools. Others had slipped into the country in the months before September the 11th and acted as the muscle in the operation. The 19 terrorists easily smuggled box cutters and knives through security at three East Coast airports and boarded four early morning flights bound for California, chosen because the planes were loaded with fuel for the long transcontinental journey. Soon after takeoff, the terrorists commandeered, that's an interesting word, commandeered the four planes and took the control, transforming ordinary passenger jets into guided missiles.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot to say, Ed Frawley. That's just part of it. What are your thoughts?
It definitely was a sad day in American history, you know, during that time and during the current events. I mean, it just, you can't really imagine what goes through someone's mind that they want to just completely destroy, you know, innocent people. And unfortunately, you know, everybody can have their conspiracy theories all they want, but it was all over politics, which is a sad thing.
It really is. And I think the sad part is that it's innocent lives.
So
you know, the people, the powers to be are never the ones that be a sacrifice. So I think for me that's the part that I hate about wars and things. You know, it's never the ones that are making the war, that are killed in the war.
Exactly.
You know what, JD? And the sad part about it is, that's not it, because the Pentagon attack, as millions watched the events unfolding in New York, American Airlines Flight 777 circled over downtown Washington, D.C., okay, before crashing into the west side of the Pentagon military headquarters at 9:45 a.m. Jet fuel from the Boeing 757 caused a devastating inferno that led to the structural collapse of the portion of the giant concrete building, which is the headquarters of United States Department of Defense. 125 military personnel and civilians were killed in the Pentagon, along with all 64 people of the airliner. So the Twin Tower collapsed. Less than 15 minutes after the terrorists struck the nerve center of the U.S. military, the horror in New York took a catastrophic turn when the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed into a massive cloud of dust and smoke. The structural steel of the skyscraper, here's the thing, JB, the structural steel of the skyscraper, the operative word is steel, built to withstand winds in excess of 200 miles per hour, and the large conventional fire could not withstand the tremendous heat generated by the burning jet fuel. At 10:30 a.m., the north building of the Twin Towers collapsed. Only six people in the World Trade Center towers at the time of their collapse survived. Almost 10,000 others were treated for injuries, and many of them severe. So Flight 93, and so meanwhile, a fourth California-bound plane, United Flight 93, and I feel bad, JB, I forgot about this particular one. Is that bad?
Yeah.
Was hijacked about 40 minutes after leaving Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey. Because the plane had been delayed in taking off, passengers on board learned of the events in New York and Washington via cell phone and air phone calls to the ground.
So knowing that the aircraft was not returning to an airport as the hijackers claimed, a group of passengers and flight attendants planned an insurrection. One of the passengers, Thomas Burnett Jr., told his wife over the phone that, "I know we're all going to die. There's three of us who are going to do something about it. I love you, honey." Another passenger, Todd Beamer, was heard saying, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll," over an open line. Sandy Bradshaw, a flight attendant, called her husband and explained that she had slipped into a galley and was filling pitchers with boiling water. Her last words to him were, "Everyone's running to first class. I gotta go. Bye." The passengers fought the four hijackers and are suspected to have attacked the cockpit with a fire extinguisher. The plane then flipped over and sped towards the ground at upwards of 500 miles per hour, crashing in a rural field near Shanksville in Western Pennsylvania at 10:10 a.m. All 44 people aboard were killed. Its intended target is not known, but theories include the White House, the U.S. Capitol, Camp David Presidential Retreat in Maryland, or one of the several nuclear power plants along the eastern seaboard. So a total of 2,996 people were killed in the 9/11 attack, including the 19 terrorists hijackers aboard the four airplanes.
I just don't know what to say. At the World Trade Center, 2,763 people died. Paramedics, 23 New York City police officers, and 37 Port Authority police officers who were struggling to complete an evacuation of the building and save the office workers trapped on a higher, they were trapped on the higher floors.
So at the Pentagon, 189 people were killed, including 64 on American Airlines Flight 77, the airliner that struck the building. On Flight 93, 44 people died when the plane crash landed in Pennsylvania. Wow. So, guys, we hate to have read that whole thing, but I think a lot of us probably did forget a lot of the details of what happened. And so that was the reason why we wanted to basically just share that whole whole day of turmoil that this whole country experienced. I know at that time I was at work, and it was just a day that I'll never forget.
I got you. Ed Farley, before we go to break, I knew that, not even just myself and JV knew that this would be a sensitive subject. we knew we didn't, I'm not going to say we didn't bother to get special guests, we asked around, but we knew that because of the sensitive nature of this topic, we weren't going to get people. We did know Mr. Foley was going to call in. We appreciate you. Before we go to break, did you remember all of that, Ed?
Actually, I did, and it was where I was at the time. It was actually a funny story that turned somber real quick. I was actually managing a hotel in the Auction Hill area, and we had a woman run through the lobby screaming, "We're under attack, we're under attack." And, of course, we thought, okay, she's on drugs.
Exactly.
We need to call the paramedics. We need to do this. I mean, she just ran in and just started flipping out. And so we didn't know what was going on. And then another guest came down. Did you hear what you heard? Did you hear? They attacked the World Trade Center. And so we went into the break room to look at the TV. And not soon as we got in there, that's when the second plane hit.
Yeah.
And we were just in awe as to what was happening. So somebody was saying that planes are flying overhead. You know, of course, you start hearing stories. Oh, planes are flying overhead. They're dropping. So one of my housekeepers and my engineer, we went on the top of the roof, and we were trying to, you know, see what we could see, because you could see Reagan Airport from there.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you know, within a matter of minutes, we saw a big cloud of smoke off in the distance, and we didn't know what it was, what it hit, or anything. And then later we found out, once we came back down, that it was the Pentagon.
Right.
And it was just, everything just shut down. We tried to make phone calls. Nothing was working. Of course, all landlines were down. Cell phones were down. We were trying to reach family, friends, and they just locked down the entire city. And what really brought it home to me was when they started, you know, getting the troops to go over, we were actually one of the hotels that housed the troops. So we actually housed them from February all the way through April. My whole entire hotel became a hub for the military. I had no guests but military guests. And I can tell you, we actually couldn't have our housekeepers clean the rooms. They had to actually have their own military staff clean the rooms because of sensitive information they had. I mean, documents they had, their weapons that they had in there. They were doing training in our parking lot. And it was that
intense.
Right there made it seem even more real than the actual event that happened.
Mm-hmm. I bet. And that went on for 2 months, huh?
September 11th, so they actually came there in January all the way through April is when the last folks left from the military.
Right. So before we go to break, we were going to find out where everyone was. We want to talk about, are we safer? We want to bring in Sierra at this time. Sierra, how are you? Welcome to Connect the City.
I'm good. How are you, Vasco?
Wonderful. Thanks for calling in.
We're talking about 9/11. Are we safer? We're about to go to break. JD and I really said a lot. And we our mood quickly dampened. Would you agree, JP? So we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back in 30 seconds, guys. You are on with Connect the City. If it would play, you know, if it would do it.
Call in.
You got to call in, guys. We're on Facebook Live. We're on Live.
think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough. Make a little space, make a better place, heal the world, make it a better place, for you and for me and the entire human race.
Hey, welcome back to Connect the City. I am Millie in the City, your hostess with the mostest.
I'm J.B. Jones, the co-host with the most.
See, I love what you did. We are talking about 9/11. 17 years later, are we any safer? We want to welcome back our panelists, well, not panelists, but our guests in. We have Ed Farley and Sierra. Guys, the question is, 17 years ago, 9/11 happened. It was just so devastating, the deadliest attacks ever. Do you feel any safer? Sierra, we'll start with you. Okay, great.
Yes or no?
Wonderful.
Sorry, the baby is. I just woke up.
You said what? You just broke up a little bit?
Say that's a no.
Well, Jamie said no.
The baby woke up.
Okay, your baby woke up. Okay, great. So, do you feel any safer? Or do you have to cut out on us and get back to us?
Just go ahead.
Okay, great.
Just go ahead and give us your hashtag now.
So, Ed, while Sierra comes back, at this point, at this time, do you feel any safer?
that's actually no. Loaded.
That it's loaded. Uh-oh.
It's loaded.
Loaded.
Do I feel any safer as far as in a tragedy like that happening on U.S. soil? Yeah. But at the same time, I have to say no, only because of who we have in office right now.
Yes, amen.
Doing what he's doing. So it may not be a plane this time. It could actually be a missile, which can be more devastating than anything else. And I know some folks think, oh, no, that's not possible or whatever. Anything's possible. We didn't think a plane could fly into a building, and guess what? It did. So it's kind of I'm kind of in the middle. It's a yes and it's a no. I feel safer on one hand, but then I feel very, I don't feel as safe because of what he's doing. And it's, I don't know, I just don't have words for it.
All right, so, JB, if you're allowed to say, because you know how you do your disclaimer, do you feel safer 17 years later after 9/11?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And,
can you explain?
Can I? Yes.
Yes, please.
So, Ed, do you see that book that came out called Fear?
Uh-oh.
Do you think that might have a little
book?
Bit? The book that just came out with the title Fear. Do you think
actually,
that might
I did.
Have? Did you hear what was in the book?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So if you get a chance, please read that book.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to go online, and there might be some excerpts. But if you get a chance to hear what's in that, you will understand why we really aren't any safer, and you have a reason to fear the future. And it's really, really sad, really, really sad. The things that I heard, I haven't read it, but I got to hear a lot of things that are in it. and it is scary.
Mm.
And makes you want to run home and hide under your bed.
Mm.
That's what it makes you want to do. So do I feel any safer? No, I don't. And I just, you know, if there is a praying person alive in this world, they all need to pray.
Mm.
We all need to pray because we are at the mercy of a I don't even want to say crazy administration, but
madman.
Yeah, madman. That's probably a good word. I know we're going to probably take a hit for this.
Y'all get over.
But yeah, it's, you know, Facebook friends, please be kind. But it's scary. It's scary. The things this president is scary. So I just hope that we can get past the next 2 years without war. Would be nice.
Mm-hmm. I personally,
boy,
I'm ready to go now.
You know,
I do not feel.
We don't drink on our show.
Yeah, can we get our Uber driver to go get us some liquor? We're just Savant Berry time.
Goodness, he's turning us into Lifetime.
Lifetime special.
We're going to be alcoholics.
We're going to be alcoholics.
Yeah.
I don't feel safer. I did because I knew they wouldn't have the nerve, Ed, to come back and try the same thing. My mind wasn't on missiles until our president, to me, is such like a bully. And then he's taunting Kim Jong-un. Did I say it right? Kim Jong-un? I'm trying to say it there.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un. Until that's when I understood about missiles. And this is where I was completely, completely afraid. And it's like, do I need to speak with my children and now grandchildren about contingency plans? How can we get out? Can we get out? Where we need to go? I don't think we're safe at all. I think.
Do we need to go back to the fallout shelter days?
Do you have one, JV? Can you even tell me where that is?
You have to be old school to know that.
I know. I heard about it, but.
Sure you did.
Are you trying to say I'm old?
Yeah, I'm going to build one right under my house.
All right. How long did it take me to get to where you live at? Let me think.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wow, I just don't feel safe. There's so many things going on. To me, it's a whole bunch of little things, JB, that are leading up. The shootings are just getting – there was a shooting today. There was a shooting in California. There's all kind of chases going on. And then there was a shooting – it looked like a bank robbery at first. And, God, where was that? Was that San Francisco? I mean, the guns that these people possess. I mean, that's a whole other show. We did the show, Gun Control. But there's no control over the guns. So, no, we don't feel safer. And
on so many levels.
And because this is bad, and come at me. Don't be nice, Facebook. I could care less. I will light you up. But what I will say is, because of President Trump, I feel like because he's a bully, people are looking at us as a joke. And they know our every move. They know what we're doing. They're going to come back stronger, and they're going to come back harder. And they're going to kill more Americans because there's so many, like I said, little things happening. You don't agree? Like, it's like every day when I see Fox News, other than their, Ocean City Cam, as soon as I see anything, 9/7, I'm like, uh-oh, what happened now? What happened now?
All I can say is, and I say it probably every show, please vote, people.
Yeah.
Please vote, people. I want to tell you who to vote for, but I'm just going to say just vote.
Everybody other than
who not to vote for. Oh, my goodness. I can't.
I got a question. It's
made me wear this shirt today. Hashtag.
I really can't. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, JV. Do you feel like that they're just playing with us when they say impeachment? Because after the first incident, it's supposed to be impeachment. They still talk about impeachment. It's almost a year later.
Well, my thing is, I mean, they tried to impeach Bill for just having sexual pleasures. This man.
Oh, I love the word sexual pleasures because it wasn't sex. Actually.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But anyway. But here this man is just trying to invite the enemy to the White House. He's trying to invite the Russians
to have tea and trumpets. You know what, JV, it's so funny because nobody really has done any research on 17 years later. What I did see was where our research led me was is that 15 years later, they said, are we any safer? And they say, some people say yes, some people say no, and that's a good thing. Many articles, many papers have been written, many historians. I was on the History Channel also. And it's just daunting. I don't know what else to say.
But I think the safer, as far as, like Ed said, you know, TSA, things have been put
right.
into place.
Right.
I can't carry my lotion on board. I mean, you know, what can I say? those things have changed. But are we safer in other ways? So it's like it's switched
exactly.
from one end of the pendulum to the other. And it's like, you know, things are man gets shot in his own house. I mean.
Oh, don't. That's the next show.
I mean, it's just too much.
You know, and that's.
It's too much.
We could go on this show for years and years because we have so much to talk about. I just don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. I'm just looking around. I'm much more cautious. I'm looking around. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be, like, noticing certain things and stuff like that. We do have some more callers calling in now. We have several. We'll go with Darrell A. Carter. Mr. Carter, good evening. Welcome to Connect the City.
Good evening.
Good evening. How you ladies doing this evening?
We're doing great.
We are
How
doing
about
great.
You? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I had to call in, and I just heard a comment that I think the real J.B. Jones just made about the lotion and the TSA.
Mm.
I just want to give you a little tidbit in case you didn't know. They get ready to remove TSA from 142 small airports.
Yes, they are.
Did not know
that. So what does that mean for people checking their luggage in those smaller airports?
At least I wanted to throw out my designer lotion now.
Let's bring in the next caller with the left.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't funny, JV. The next caller, last four digits, 6425. Caller, you're with Connect the City. May we have your name?
How you doing? It's Mr. Sirach Berry.
Hi, Mr. Sirach Berry.
We have to beat with you, Mr. Sirach Berry, on 9/11.
We sure need
that. We had asked, did we not, JB? How many times have we asked for some Sirach Berry, sir?
Okay.
Well,
it's all right.
It's not okay. Once I get officially invited onto the show, you guys will have plenty of Sirach there.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, next.
I like the
weeks.
Pineapple, too.
Pineapple.
Oh, here we go. Now you want me to cheat.
So you heard everything that we discussed. We didn't want to, per se, give you the back history of it again.
No,
our biggest question tonight is, do you feel safer?
No, of course not. I didn't hear the whole show. I heard bits and pieces. I apologize. I was still in the office. But in any case, I don't feel any safer. Actually, I think as a whole, we're a lot less safer in America. It's not just about security. It's the propaganda from 9/11. I don't know how many people actually remember or was watching, I forget what network, but watching news when 9/11 actually first hit. And I just got lucky that I was at Verizon Wireless working, and we had, at the time, many different stations up. It was just normal. So it was several different news stations up that morning in our Knox locations. So there was a lot of news on. So when it first happened, there was a reporter that actually did a report that afternoon on 9/11. And what he said still, you know, rings in my ear when people talk about it. And he actually had a comment to say, United States, this was prior to Bush even declaring war. He had already announced that the United States was gearing for war against Saddam Hussein because he had stopped all oil from crossing in his waters because they set up a deal with Russia to control the currency. So a lot of people got caught up believing 9/11 was a terrorist act. And I'm even though I'm an American, I believe wholeheartedly that was an inside job. For one, when we look at all of the news that was circled 9/11, where all of the fighter jets just happened to be millions of miles away and all of that good stuff, people forget the one rule of law when it comes to no-fly zone. As soon as you get within a certain mile of that no-fly zone, wherever a fighter jet is located, they divert to that area.
So the movies are correct.
I mean, I can't speak for a lot of the movies. I have a lot of ex-military relatives.
Yeah, what's the name of the movie? Top Gun. Like things like that, you see stuff like that. And
no, she's just saying as far as what happened.
Like what happened. No fly zone.
Right.
Like you can't any close.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like there's no way you can have several planes divert to a no-fly zone without any fighter jets coming within.
That's true.
All of the different excuses they gave for why the plane wasn't shot down, it just made no sense. And it was all done, in my opinion. Again, I don't have any facts on this, but I do have an opinion that this was all done as another fear factor to control all of the information that they now control, to control everything that they're doing to us from a weapon standpoint all the way down to our rights. Because we don't realize that the people, after 9/11 happened, they stripped us of a lot of our rights that we had prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
and
a lot less.
And see and hear everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're
not safe at all.
We've seen movies about that, and that is...
Yeah.
But
you know the sad part about it, though, Siroc Berry, is that the lives that were sacrificed, the lives, the people that died, you know, regardless of if they did it for conspiracy or whatever, it's always the innocent lives that are sacrificed, and that's
and,
the part that angers me.
I agree wholeheartedly, and the unfortunate fact is, and I heard, I believe you say, Melly, that you were doing your research. If you look back at a lot of our history from the United States standpoint, that's been going on from the beginning of time. So this is not anything new as far as sacrificing humans to their agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a norm.
Sacrifice a few to save many?
It's not to save many. It's sacrifice a few to get across whatever agenda they have to get across.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the, what they call it, the sacrifice of war or whatever.
It's called something. I heard
it
saying it's sacrifice a few
to something. Like I said earlier, the ones that make these wars and do all of this are not the ones whose lives are being sacrificed.
Right. And not to go off topic, because I know you got other callers, I'm to the point, and this is because of how I look at the world, not just the United States. I'm to the point where I've stopped believing in democracy, because there's technically it's not a democracy, because when the people, which is me and you and everyone that's calling in, when the people don't have the right to vote a person into office, it's all the false propaganda. Like, it's like these people give us a right that doesn't really mean a lot. So you have a right to vote, but who are you voting into office? Because as long as
the electoral college?
As long as, and people forget what the purpose of the electoral college, which is really funny.
We were reminded.
Yeah, some black politicians and some black activists try to remind us of the definition of it, and we still ignore it. And it's unfortunate, because the electoral college was put in place because the powers that be felt the civilians wasn't intelligent enough to pick a person to be leader of the United States. So with that being said, and that never being challenged or changed, that speaks a lot right there.
Well, I think people are looking at that finally, and that does need to be overturned for real. It really does.
Right.
If what's the point, like you say, what's the point in voting?
But, I mean,
we still have to get out and vote in large numbers, because the only way we can get them to even overturn an electoral college is if the population has voted, like, I don't want to say unanimously, but daggone close.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when you make it close, just like they say, don't let the ref end the game. Okay? You need to win
this.
Love it. Yeah.
Right. And in my opinion, the only way the Electoral College or anything will change is when the individuals that control the narrative decide it's time for it to change. I know it might sound crazy to some, but again, a lot of the things I've looked up and realized that's fact, it just makes no sense. And it makes me understand that there's a few individuals that just control the world, let alone the country. When you look at the fact, and this is the facts I'm about to spit out to you, when you guys look it up, Millie, you might want to talk about this in the future. But when you look at the fact that the federal government to this day pays Domino Sugar billions of dollars a year for surplus sugar, like to any average American, that's retarded.
Yeah,
because so
Domino Sugar is garbage.
Yeah, but that's my whole point.
Know,
but when you look at the background of that, what's the purpose of the federal government paying a private entity for surplus sugar?
Yeah, that's crazy. I
mean, they do a lot of that
kind of stuff, though. That is not
exactly.
Just sugar.
No, they do it with sugar, coffee, and tobacco.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
And when you look at what's a lot of the main ingredients that keep us sick, are those same ingredients that they're paying for.
Mm.
So what are your thoughts, of Ed Farley, and then we'll go back to Daryl Carter.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Interesting.
We learned something new every day.
It's always good to hear both sides.
Yeah. I didn't know about that. The domino sugar. You knew about the sugar. I didn't know about the no-fly zone. It's not that I didn't know. They've been showing us in the movies. And that is the truth. We were the fighter jets. Mr. Farley and Mr. Carter, we'd like to divulge to you guys. What do you think that Yancey just said? Not Mr. Rockberry. I love it, though. Next time he's going to be on the show. 2 weeks, current events, hot topics. We need drinks for that. So many things.
Cool.
Well, if I can add something just real quick onto what he just said. As far as it being an inside job, I'm not too sure about that, but I will agree to one point that when they sent the troops over, it had nothing to do with 9/11. And I'm only saying this because of firsthand information that a lot of my family members that were in the military and then also the guys that were housed at the hotel, they were giving one strict order. Strict orders of what they were doing when they got there. The moment they touched ground, and I forgot what it's called, but the orders changed. They were immediately sent to guard the oil fields and not look for Bin Laden. Of course, Bin Laden was somewhere else, but they were told to go and guard these oil fields because they were burning the oil fields, which took the oil that we buy from them. So I think a lot of that, us going to war, had a lot to do with that, and I personally, and I could be wrong about this, and somebody can correct me, but I personally think that George Bush Jr. did this as a way to, because remember, his father went after Saddam Hussein,
but
didn't get him. George Bush Jr. went after him and got him. So I'm trying to understand the connection between Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden, which I really don't see a connection, but that's what all that was about. And he, put himself up on the pedestal saying, yeah, he took down Saddam Hussein. Okay, but what about Bin Laden and 9/11? That was the question that was still unanswered.
Right. Well, it always seems to be about the resources.
Right.
Okay, I mean, it is.
And what was the gentleman's name that just spoke? I'm sorry.
Yancy. This is Ed Farley.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Farley.
Yeah, Yancy or Ed? Yes.
Okay. So and when you look at the OU situation, and this is another fun fact on what I found out during 9/11 or in that time frame, that whatever currency the world purchases the OU, that becomes the natural currency. So right now, the OU is paid for by USA dollar. And in that time, like I said, Saddam Hussein was working it out so that the currency was going to change and it would not be United States dollars anymore. And that's when the war went off.
I'm sure. And that's the same, you said Russians, the same one that the president now is trying to invite to the White House, that same country?
Yeah, same country. Same country.
Oh, okay, great.
Same country. Because what I didn't know back then, and, you know, I learned a lot, you know, just different things I read and watched. I didn't even know that the majority of the oil goes through those waters out there in the Middle East. Saddam Hussein stopped all oil rigs from going through his waters.
Yes, sir.
Because they were in the process of controlling the currency. And once they control the currency, the United States would have pretty much turned to a third world country.
And so, you know, I don't know for sure, but it almost sounds like the 9/11 was a diversion of your attention.
And that's what they do all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a diversion. Yes. Mm-hmm. While everybody's over here mourning the losses of their loved ones and everything.
Very loved ones.
Over there doing what you need to do, and by the time you realize what's been done, it's done.
Foolery.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Is there a movie about that?
I know there's a movie about that.
That sounds familiar.
It sounds a lot
of
familiar.
A lot of people look at movies and say, oh, that's a movie.
Sometimes
it seems like that was based on a true story.
Yep. I think that about a lot of the
movies. People don't want to believe that those type of things go on. But I really think, things do go on and we don't know about. They got the, a lot of those files and everything are sealed and locked and burned. And
sealed, locked, and burned.
When you look at a lot of what's going on, even the last 10 years, when you look at a lot of what's going on now, the powers that be are very cocky at this point because they know a lot of individuals are more educated than they used to be. So now a lot of things that they do, they hide in plain sight. So a lot of information that we hear and see, it's what's really going on, but we ignore it because we hear it and we see it. When you listen to how they talk about when gas prices go up and down for no reason at all, nobody questions it. We just pay for gas. You know, and it's funny that none of that happened until 9/11. After 9/11 hit, all of a sudden gas prices start playing around like it was the stock market. It was just going up and down, but nobody ever questioned, why did this start happening?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't question it.
We just don't go to many places.
and then I have a cousin of mine that's been driving trucks his entire life. This is another funny fun fact. When the oil prices went up in 2000, I want to say 4 or 5, it was one of those years that went up really crazy where it was almost $4 or $5 a barrel, $4 or $5 a gallon. Do you guys remember when, I forget the name of the trucking union company, that thousands of trucks went and parked at the White House.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the oil went down. I mean, it's little things like that I look at and I say to myself, now, if the oil has to go up, I don't care what you do on strike, it shouldn't just go down automatically because you're upset.
True.
Well,
JV, more interesting show than I thought.
Yes, it's sad is what it is because we don't really control any of it. None of it.
No,
so
and that,
we're at the mercy of these people with, like you say, gas, food, everything. And it's, you know, it's really sad. It really is. And I just hope that, I don't know what I hope now.
I'm here.
I think about our children, our children's children, the future generations. What are they in store? What's in store for them?
You know, I'm gonna give you guys a quote, and this is funny, but it's not. I'm a old black cinema fan, and I love the movie The Mac with Goldie. But there's one scene in that movie. There's one scene in that movie that always it sticks out, and it makes sense of what we should be doing, but we don't do it. And it was a scene where his brother said, "We have to learn how to live in white America, with and without white America," and that's the key, because it's not a lot we can do to overthrow them at this particular moment. But
right.
Our problem is we want to live with them as if everything's equal. And then every time we get slapped in the face and they let us know we're not equal, we cry and pout about it.
Hey.
But if we learn how to live in this country and not depend on them, then it's a whole other ballgame.
Yes. And how to channel our dollars.
Don't we say that?
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's what the secret is. That's the secret. That they control the narrative because they keep us divided with all of these silly tactics that they do, so they keep us divided.
Yeah.
Mm,
yep.
Mm.
And
so,
we keep watching shows like Power and stuff to divert our attention away from what we really should be.
I'm sorry, I'm not missing Amari Hardwick, okay? Because I'm waiting for Tariq to die. Okay, not the point.
Gotcha.
Look, that's my outlet. We out here in these streets. We out here working. DC Nightlife, Millie in the City. We out here working. The real J.B. Jones. Aren't you working all the time?
No, I'm watching CNN
and all the political.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
That's what you do. That's why I do it.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
I have a comment to make regarding who controls the United States. A lot of people don't really realize, I forgot who made the comment, there are actually five families that control the United States. It's the Kennedys, the Rothschilds, and I forgot the name of the other three families. Those five families get together and say what's going to happen. That's why you never hear them talk about each other. They're never fighting each other. You never see them in the same room together. But those are the ones that control the United States.
And I heard the same exact thing, sir. Same exact thing.
Saying to me like you need to throw the Trump family up in there now.
No, I don't think the Trump family is in there. Does anybody know the other three?
Trump was put there, just like we said a moment ago, as a diversion.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
strictly a diversion.
I'm just messing with you. He would want to think that, though.
But wasn't it the Rockefellers? It wasn't the Rockefellers?
Yeah,
the Rockefellers, too.
Yeah, the Rockefellers was one.
It was one of the Vanderbilts.
It's the Rothschild.
Yeah, they're
the
old,
Rockefeller.
Old
okay, the Rothschild is number five. The Rockefeller family is number four. The Morgan family is number three. And so, of course, guys, John Pierpont Morgan, J.P. Morgan and Company.
Oh, yeah.
J.P. Morgan, okay. Just in case someone didn't know. And they control small business, real estate, diamonds, and gemstones, OTC stocks.
No, not to cut you off. These are the politicians. They control the politicians that control the world. They go in, have private meetings, and they come out, and they tell the world what needs to happen.
Right, right.
The DuPont
family did not know that.
And who's number one?
And the Bush family.
The Bush family.
That's what
The other thing, too, real quick before I jump back off the line again, people don't realize the reason we had the Iraq War was because Bush Jr. was avenging Bush Sr., what they did to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to be a part of the Iraq War. I mean, the Kuwait War, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and read the history, you'll see what Bush Sr. did, and look at the initials, what Iraq really means.
Well, they are also, they threw some other families in it just to throw it in there. Of course, they got the DuPont family, the Collins family, the Bundy bloodline, and the Astor bloodline. We got to do some research. The Freeman, who said the Kennedys is number six. The Lee bloodline, the Onassis blood. Oh, Onassis Kennedy.
That's who that was, the Onassis. That's who I forgot.
Right. The Russell bloodline, the Van Duyn, and I might not be saying that right, but Duyn is spelled D-U-Y-N. The Merrill Virginian bloodline. Oh, we got to look at this, JV. This is crazy. So those are some of the bloodlines.
Money.
That's
old money.
Wow, JV.
And if you go back and look a little deeper, every one of those families are part of Illuminati.
Well, that's a whole nother
show. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, we'll put
that
on the list.
We would not like to be shut. Yeah, we ain't put that on the list. You put that on the list by itself, and getting me shot. They know what we are. Guys, so we're running out of time for the show. We want to go into Millie's Moments real quick. So, Yancy, you did say where you were. JV, where were you? Because that's the Millie's Moment. I can tell you where I was, but where were you when 9/11? Do you remember it like it was yesterday?
Wow. It's interesting because I actually had a dream the night before, and I dreamt it was so vivid. And I woke up out of my sleep, and I said out loud, I just dreamt that I watched the plane crash right before me in the middle of the street. It just crashed. And I woke up like 3 in the morning, all upset and everything. And I went back to sleep finally, and then the next morning I got dressed for work. And when I went to work, everybody was staring at the TV or the computer screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what's going on? And they said, we just got attacked. Planes just hit the World Trade Center. And I fell to my chair and started crying. And I was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I just dreamt that. So for me, it was very, I mean, I can't even explain how I felt that whole day because the fact that I had actually dreamt about a plane crashing in the middle of the street was like, wow. So that I'll never forget that.
Let me get away from you. I'm about to get away from her right now, guys.
I'll never forget
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know that had to be a horrible day.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Because if you had told, what are you thinking, Dick? So do you think to yourself, and if it's too sensitive, let me know, do you think to yourself, should I call somebody? Or, oh, no, JV, it's a crazy dream. What did you think?
But, you know, it's weird because most time I don't remember my dream. But this particular one was so vivid, and I woke up, like, almost hysteric. Mm. And, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this dream I had. And so, you know, I went back to sleep finally, had no idea.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know why that was in my spirit, that was really something for me. So that day will forever live in my mind.
So before I tell you where I was, can you dream that I hit the lottery?
Well, not before I do.
Oh,
okay, great.
So selfish. I'm so selfish. So I was at the Patent and Trademark Office when it was at Crystal City.
Okay.
So I was near the Pentagon. And I had two small children, and I was a temper, something, a contractor. And they all, you know, come outside. You know, we can't watch TV, so nobody knew anything. So we all had to go outside, and me being nosy, I saw the smoke. And the boom, I heard the boom and all of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. And somebody said, oh, no, y'all can't. They said we were not trapped, but what they said was the instructions were we could not leave.
Right.
We all had to go back inside and such and so forth. What happened was I did not do that. I went back inside like I was supposed to, grabbed my purse, snuck out, and went and got my children.
Yeah.
And I was the only one on the damn road. I promise you that. I went over the bridge, you know, the bridge.
Right.
Woodrow Wilson over the bridge and went and got got my daughter first and was a little hysteric. And they were like, no, ma'am, you can't. I'm like, I
give me
cuss words.
Child.
Yeah. If you don't give me I did those kind of cuss words. Got my child, threw her in the car.
Anyway.
And was like, hey, got you. Then I went and got my son who was how was my son? I can't remember. But he was in daycare or whatever. Got him, went home. Mm-hmm. And then watched the rest of it on TV, and it was bananas.
I think the craziest thing that day was that transportation was crazy. You couldn't get, I mean, it was scary. Like the whole city was just like a movie. Like,
it was
just
like, it
crazy.
Was so bad.
Like, you couldn't, you know, I just remember being on the bus or something and barely the traffic moving and probably could run better than you could.
Ooh,
get
wow.
somewhere in the, on the bus, that it was like that, you know, finally making it to the train. And
right.
It was just, you know, and then you think about, okay, is someone going to do something on your public transportation
right,
now?
Right, no.
But you don't even want to get on the public transportation. It was just
so
awful.
It was just scary. Cause
it was awful.
And I remember that somebody, I think my ex-boyfriend or something, broke down. And for some reason, like a dumbass, I got in the car with the kids and got him, but remember being so scared. And he was over near Chevrolet somewhere.
Right.
And I just went and got him and went on back home, but scared to death the whole way. And then you saw all the aftermath, and you saw exactly what happened because you didn't know. I didn't know because there's no TV. And
right.
Stuff.
And see,
oh, my stomach hurts.
I was in downtown, so downtown D.C., which is very close to the Pentagon.
Yes.
So you really felt a lot of that as well.
You felt it, the
yeah,
tremors on the
it,
yep.
It was just, yeah, it was really. And the office that I was working in at that time had an office in the World Trade Center. So some of the employees of the company that I was working for were actually lost that day. So we really were feeling it
were
as
they
well.
Found?
Yeah, no, they died.
Oh, they died. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they lost some we lost employees that day as well. So I actually have a cousin that escaped by, you know, seconds that day as well. So it was
you
just,
can.
Yeah.
I got you. I'll take care. I got you. Oh, wow. JV, your thoughts on this whole show? I think you're probably just exhausted at this
vote. That's my thought. Vote.
JV thoughts.
Vote. I know we have the Electoral College. I understand all of that. But I need us to show up and show out like we did for President Obama.
Okay.
Just like I saw those long lines all the way wrapped around the corner, and we all stood in them. Mm-hmm. I need to see long lines wrapped around the corner for the next midterm election as well as the next presidential. That's what I'm going to be rooting for. That's what I'm going to get out and make my, you know, I'm going to try to make my difference in my way, and I'm going to get out and do my part because I'm one of them people, I'm just not going to talk, I'm going to do.
Okay.
So I'm going to, that's JV's thought. Yeah.
I love that, JV. Thank you so much. We have to get out of here. So first we'll go to Ed Farley with your brief thoughts, and then we'll go to Yancey, who hasn't given us any Ciroc Berry, to his thoughts. We're going to get him until the end of the show. We want to rock. Mr. Farley, you have any brief moments? We're about to get off here. Any brief last-minute thoughts?
Just my last-minute thoughts is everybody on the East Coast, I want you all to be safe come Wednesday, Thursday. There's a Category 4 hurricane heading that way.
Yes,
and we just found out that in Texas, we got one coming too. Saturday.
Oh,
so I'm actually going to be picking up the girls tomorrow. I'm on the plane picking up the girls tomorrow, bringing them to Texas. So they'll be safe and then taking them back before Saturday. So
right.
Oh, wow.
Go get them. And
so you're going to come here to get them and take them there and then leave there to bring them back here so you'll be safe.
That's correct.
I love
so
it.
So you're going to be traveling. Traveling.
I love it.
Okay,
I love
great.
It.
I'm traveling.
Okay.
Traveling. Yancey?
But safe travel.
Safe travel. Your final thoughts, briefly? Yep. So he just must be, he was busy. He said he just got off of work.
Yes. We thank you for that dialogue.
We thank you guys for that dialogue. I love, you know why I love this show? That's because I like to be on camera. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
I love this show. I love this show because we talk about important shit. I know you're not supposed to say talk about important stuff, and I feel like every single show, even if we're talking about, you know, the love or just like hot topics or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every single show for the last 2 years, I've learned something new.
Yeah.
This show will probably go down as one of my favorites. We didn't get a lot of special guests. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We know why. But I learned several new things this evening
mm-hmm.
that I didn't know
yeah.
that now will make me more aware. However, of course, our time is up. We want to thank everybody, and we do have to pay our sponsors. JV, I know you know who our sponsors are.
Well, first, I want to say thank you to Not About Me Ministry for allowing us to broadcast Connect the City here tonight. So that's going to be our first sponsor that I'm going to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And we also are going to say DC Nightlife. I mean, where else can you go to get the best in entertainment events? And if anything you're looking to do, you're going to find it at DCNITELIFE.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Show you one.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay, great. So where's Not About Me Ministries, Jamie?
Not About Me Ministries, located 3106 Temple Hill. I'm sorry.
Oh.
3106 Branch Avenue, Temple Hills, Maryland. Got ahead of myself. Each and every Sunday, 10 o'clock, come out. They welcome you. Doesn't matter. Come in and hear the word.
And yeah. the word is so amazing.
It is.
We're also being sponsored by Lunch Maybe Dinner. This seems pale in comparison to what we just talked about, but it's a special dating app for singles that is different, edgy, and promises to deliver just lunch and maybe dinner.
And maybe brunch.
Oh, brunch! Oh, brunch! Love it. www.lunchmaybedinner.com. It is in the Play Store for Lunch Maybe Dinner. Download it now. You can sign up for free today. You can meet your singles in the next cubicle, the next building, or the next block. We are out of here.
Yeah, and look out for those meet and greet pop-ups.
Meet and greet pop-ups
yeah.
for Lunch Maybe Dinner.
Come
for to a place
night to night. You.
Come on, we're going to be all over.
Yes.
Yeah, before, yeah. We got a lot of things going.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, who took the time to speak with us, to call in. Everybody who, I know your Facebook Live is jumping. My Facebook Live is jumping. Again, I am Millie in the City, your hostess with the most. I say pretty deuces.
We out of here.
We out of here, guys. You'll never get from this one.
God's great big family.